Of our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I woke up this morning and this has nothing to do with my sermon. I was going to tell you this, I forgot. But I woke up this morning and I was really, really, really tired. And so hopefully I'll be able to teach. But we went hunting yesterday and I walked 11 miles. And so you think you're in shape until you do something that you're not used to really doing, walking up and down giant mountains and stuff. And so I took my nephew out hunting, and he's never hunted before. So it was his very first hunt. He had never really shot a big rifle before, and he got his first deer yesterday. So that was really cool. He's right over here, Dave. Yeah. So we had a good time. So this morning I woke up and I am so sore and so tired. The cool part was, though, is having this young guy there. When he shot the deer, he carried it out on his shoulders. So that was nice. I was like, this is wonderful. Because it's like, usually you're dragging it, and your back's killing you and all that. No, but he carried it out. Anyway, I got up this morning. I'm super duper tired. I'm half asleep and I go to brush my teeth and I put the toothpaste on and I was like, what is this? And I look, and it was diaper rash. I do not recommend that you brush your teeth with diaper rash. It took quite a few rinses to get the taste out. Yeah, so it's used for a whole different thing, I discovered. So anyway, so you got your Bibles open. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at the first four verses this morning. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Over these past 35 years, my wife and I, on a few occasions, have had the privilege to travel. One time we went, when we first got married, we went with Youth with a Mission, and we were in their discipleship training program for 6 months, and then during our outreach, we got to go to Samoa and to Fiji, and we were stationed in Hawaii. We were suffering for the Lord in Hawaii, and it was pretty nice. And so we went out there, and after that, we moved back to the United States and got involved in a Christian missions organization. I was able to go to Romania and to the former Soviet Union. I'd never done that. And one of the things that I discovered when you're traveling and you're meeting people from other places, and I guess I shouldn't have been shocked by this, but there are always people, it seems like, that had this sort of prideful attitude or prejudice or elitism towards other people or other people groups. And sometimes it was ethnic, sometimes it was political, sometimes it was even religious. In fact, in Romania, they love to tell Russian jokes. Like Russian dumb jokes, It was funny about how people have this mindset about other people groups. And then there were other bickerings that went on. There in Romania, I remember the Orthodox and the Baptists and the Pentecostals, they didn't get along with each other. And when we were in Hawaii, had something happen. We went to the beach one day and it was our day off and we went out to the beach and I started to share the gospel, wanted to share the gospel with this lady. And I start talking to her, and the first thing that comes out of her mouth, she goes, "Howley," like that. And I'm like, "What does that mean?" And so I go, "What's a howley?" And she goes, "White person." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And she didn't like howleys. And so I was able to kind of calm her down and show her that howleys are not that bad of people. And so we had a nice discussion. And so but you see this everywhere. In Romania, it was the gypsies and the non-gypsies. They didn't like each other. And then, the communists and those that wanted freedom. And there's all of this stuff that goes on. And it seems like people like to categorize. They love to put, themselves or others into different categories or different camps. And what it often really does is it breeds pride. It cultivates conceitedness, it builds walls between people, it causes jealousy, it causes contentions and division and hatred, all of that ugly stuff. And I've observed first and second hand that one of the most frustrating things for me in life is the fact that men display this inability to get along with each other. And it seems like people are constantly at odds. We see it in our culture today with the Democrats and the Republicans and you know, different races and all the stuff that's going on a constant. And because of that, God, in the Bible, has given us plenty of instruction, which is obviously very much needed, instruction on relationships and how we are to treat each other and how we are to get along with one another, how we're to live peaceably with each other. In fact, I've said this over and over, that the Bible is a book about relationships. And that's really what it's about, if you think about it. It's about our relationship with God and then our relationship with each other. And so it's really important that we recognize that. It's interesting that when you look at the Ten Commandments and you read them and kind of study them, that the first tablet of the law has everything to do with our relationship with God. And then the second tablet, the second six commandments, are all about our relationships with each other. When Jesus was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment of all? He said that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And then he said, the second one is like it. We're to love your neighbor as yourself. And so the question is for us is, are we fulfilling those commandments? Are we really in love with God like we should be? Are we serving him with all that we are? And then are we loving each other like the Bible commands us to do? In Corinth, that wasn't happening. And we've talked about this letter to the Corinthians is very corrective. In fact, sort of subtitled this whole study, that this is a church that is under construction. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be worked on, a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed. Now, when God looks at us, God obviously sees an inherited Adamic nature tendency for us to be prideful. That's passed on to us. For being puffed up or conceited or full of ourselves or rebellious or self-willed. And so what Paul's doing in this letter is he's sort of taking the pin and he's deflating this idea of being conceited or to think that we're better than someone else. And that's what was going on there in the church of Corinth. They were dividing themselves amongst different leaders or different pastors and saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Jesus. And they were arguing with each other. And there was this problem that was developing in the church. And so what Paul's doing is he's writing this letter to rebuke them, to correct them, and to train them in right biblical thinking, kingdom thinking. Now, by nature, when we hear stuff like this, because by nature, we are not apt to want to do the will of God. We're born with a fleshly, sinful nature. And so because we have this sinful nature, our flesh doesn't want to usually just automatically obey God. We resist that. We fight that. I don't know if you've ever had someone scratch a chalkboard before. And if you were in school and somebody would scratch the chalkboard, it'd be like, ah! That never bothered me, but I was the one doing the scratching. So anyway, but I never understood why it bothered other people, but it was pretty funny. But a lot of us are like that when we hear the things of the Lord. We hear the Bible, and I see this all the time. People hear the things that the Bible has to say or the things that the Spirit of God has to say, and our flesh doesn't like it. It wants to rebel, it wants to run, it wants to close its ears. It's like the scratching on the chalkboard for our flesh. And when someone says, the Bible says, our sinful nature is just rebellious against that. So what Paul is doing here is he's penning this letter, and we've seen in the first couple of chapters already that there were these issues that needed to be dealt with in the church of Corinth. Word had come to Paul the apostle while he was over there in Ephesus, planting the church there, that things were developing, problems were developing in the church of Corinth. And as Paul gets the word about what's happening, he endeavors to douse, there was a little spark that had turned into a fire, now he wants to douse the flames, and he's writing this letter in order to correct the problems that were developing. And he's been dealing with this report that had come from Chloe's household about the different factions that were developing in the church in Corinth. And so the bottom line is that they were exalting, like I said, they were exalting men's wisdom. They were putting on the pedestal different instruments that God had used, and they were saying that they were following them. And one of our deepest struggles, it seems, as humans, is that we fall into so quickly idolatry. We will put something in the place of God, an idol. And it can be lots of different things, even pastors. And so we have to be careful not to fall into that. So instead of the church being one in Christ there in Corinth, it was fractured, it was splintered. And there was all these little cliques that were developing. Today we call them something else. We don't call them that, we call them denominations. That's what we call them today, right? And sadly, that kind of stuff still happens. On the back of our bulletin, we have two templates, not on this one, but we have another template. But on one of those templates, it says in the back of the bulletin, we put it in there, that we at Calvary Chapel are not opposed to denominations, only their overemphasis of doctrinal differences that have led to divisions in the body of Christ. And so isms or denominations can be a bad thing, or they can cause harm when they start to fracture the body of Christ. Now, we've listened to the issues that have divided and splintered churches probably over the years, and a lot of times they really don't have anything to do with the essentials of the faith. They have nothing to do with salvation or Jesus' death on the cross or his shed blood. They usually come down to non-essential issues, stuff that really is carnal thinking or worldly thinking. And so this group had set up these camps here in Corinth, and listen to what Paul says in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. So because they were following these different leaders, Paul says that they were carnal, that they were worldly. And I think that the church needs a lot of healing from this kind of mindset today. Of people fighting and bickering with each other and us not getting along with each other. So, but rather than just focusing in on the problem, and of course Satan loves to get in there and throw fuel on the fire. He loves to cause it to even become worse than it really is or could be. He loves it when we're divided because Jesus wants us to be one. He wants us to love each other. So rather than just focus in on the problem, Paul is trying to bring a solution. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Instead of just staring at the wound, let's apply the ointment of God's healing word and his spirit so that we can get better and do better than we're doing. And so God shows us a solution in this portion of scripture. Now let's not just think, well, this doesn't apply to us, because it can apply to us as well. Satan loves to get in there and make messes in churches. And some of us, unfortunately, have been we have been the syringe in which he's infected the church. We've been instruments that the enemy has used because we ourselves have had carnal or worldly thinking. Now, last Sunday, we saw that there were two categories of people in the church, or in the world, Paul talked about. There are two categories of people in the world. He said there are the spiritual, and then there's the natural man. The spiritual man was the man of Christ, or the man that was filled with the Spirit of God, that had the Spirit of God living and abiding in him. Paul says that they were mature, they were walking in obedience to the things of God. And then there was the natural man. And the natural man is described in the Scripture as the unsaved person, the unregenerate man, the man without the Spirit, who lives and is ruled by his lower nature, his animal nature, his carnal nature, his fallen Adamic nature. And he doesn't really have the capacity for the things of God. So spiritual things to the natural man or the carnal man, the man without the Spirit, when you talk to someone about spiritual things, they don't get it. They don't understand it. In fact, Paul says to them it's distasteful, it's insipid, it's foolish, tasteless. They don't have any interest. They have no appetite for spiritual things. And so when you talk to them about godly things or spiritual things, they don't really want to talk about that. They're not interested in that. And so that person, the natural person, is a person that just lives according to their flesh. They live according to their fleshly appetites to gratify their desires. The Bible tells us that the natural man is separated from God, and all non-Christians are in that place. Even if they're religious and they're still not a Christian, they're still dead spiritually and separated and alienated from God. Now this morning we're going to talk about a third category of people though. And this person is a Christian, but a Christian that is still dominated by his flesh. And that's what Paul says in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So these people are saved. They are believers, but they're carnal. They're babes in Christ. They haven't really grown at all. They're stunted spiritually. And so this word for carnal is the Greek word sarkikos. It means fleshly. It means under the control of animal appetites or governed by mere human nature. Zodiates in his Greek lexicon says this, that this describes a person as having a soulish affinity to natural sinful propensities where the flesh is the more ruling principle of life instead of the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, as we look at this, hopefully I can try to explain this. As a Christian, when we come to know Christ and we're born again of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to live and abide in us. That's what it means to be born again. And so when we're born again, it doesn't mean that we are all of a sudden we're just spiritual. And what it means is that we have now a dual nature. We have the Spirit of God living in us, but we all still have the flesh, the carnal, sinful nature, the Adamic nature that we were born with. So the spiritual, Paul says that the spiritual man, the man that's ruled by the Spirit, he is submitted to the new nature. He has, in part at least, gained victory over the flesh, and he's walking now in the newness of life. And so as we submit to the Lord, as we submit to the Holy Spirit, he helps us to overcome our flesh. And you guys all know we still have the flesh, right? We still struggle with it. I struggle with my flesh a lot. I struggle with my flesh in a lot of different ways still. I've been a Christian for 36 years, and I still realize there's a lot of work to be done in my life. And so Paul talks about walking according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. In Romans chapter 8, we have the same thing. Paul talks about those that are led by the Spirit of God, they're sons of God, that we're to be under the control of the Holy Spirit and not under the control of the flesh. Because if we're under the control of the flesh, we can't please God. So we're to be walking in the newness of life. You can read those on your own. We don't have time, but in Galatians chapter 5 and in Romans chapter 8, read those on your own if you're taking notes. So a carnal person is a Christian, yes. They put their faith in Jesus, yes. They're born again, yes. But they've never matured and they've never really crucified the flesh and they are not really feeding themselves spiritually. So they don't have a spiritual appetite and they're weak and they're anemic. And they're impotent as far as spirituality goes. They're stunted. And so Paul uses a second description of this person. He describes them there in verse 1. At the end, he says, as to babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. The word that he uses here is nepios. It means an infant or a little child not of age that is untaught or unskilled. One who is incapable of speaking plainly, a babe that is in ignorance and simply weak in faith. That's what this is describing. Now, we all know that there's a big difference between a baby and an adolescent and an adult, right? There's a difference. I have my grandkids were here this morning, and I have five of them, and I'm in love with all of them. They're the best, you know. And you guys that are grandparents, how many of you guys feel like I do? Grandparents, yeah? Aren't they awesome? It's like, I'm so glad that God gave us grandkids, right? So, but anyway, I have a little two-year-old granddaughter, and I call her Buddy Girl. I can't really remember her real name, but her name is Buddy Girl to me. And so, what's her real name? Nalea. Oh, yeah, Nalea. That's her real name. But anyway, I call her Buddy Girl. And so, but she's so cute. And I get the privilege, like, usually once or twice a week of babysitting her. And we have so much fun together. She's such a cool little kid. But she's learning words now. And so it's just neat to hear her. She's learning words, and every week it seems like she learns new words. But she doesn't really have the maturity. She can't carry on a conversation. So she wants to tell you something. She's like, you know, pointing and stuff. And I'm like, what? I'm guessing and trying to figure stuff out. Because she hasn't become of age. She's not skilled yet in being able to communicate. And so Paul says that that these believers were still in that category. They were babes in Christ. They were really mature. And so he said, I can't really speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal. Now, this is interesting because today there's this sort of this common mindset or this understanding amongst Christians that if you say, I'm a spiritual person, it automatically means that you're a mature person, and that's not true. You see, to some people, when you say, are you spiritual, depending on the kind of the vein of their church, to some people, they'll say, are you spiritual? Do you speak in tongues? You know, right away that they think that's what it means to be spiritual. And I believe that tongues are real. But that does not equal spiritual maturity. You know, do you guys realize that the Church of Corinth was a very, very spiritually gifted church? In fact, turn back with me to chapter 1, verse 4, and I'll show you what Paul says. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched, notice, in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. Here's a church that was so gifted. He said, you come short in no gift. And yet Paul says, I could not address you as spiritual, but only as carnal, as to babes in Christ. They were unskilled, they were untaught, they were infants, they were beginners in their walk of faith. Now this might surprise you, but you know, I must admit that I've seen this lived out over and over the years. I've probably even done it myself. Where spiritually gifted people who are very carnal and they're still fleshly ruled, they're immature, they're still selfish, they're still self-seeking, and they display, yet they're displaying spiritual gifts. Now something else is that there are Christians who have been Christians for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. But just because you've been a Christian for that amount of time, maybe even 30 years or 40 years, whatever, it doesn't mean that you are mature. You can still be a carnal babe in Christ even after all those years. On the flip side, you can be a very young Christian, maybe a year, 3 years, 5 years, and be very spiritually mature. So who is spiritual doesn't have to do necessarily with gifts or necessarily the amount of time that you've been a Christian. Having gifts can still mean that you're carnal, or being a Christian for a long time, you can still be carnal. Now later we're gonna see that Paul points out that true spirituality in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 equals love. Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, he says, I'm a big zero. That's my paraphrase. We're nothing. So it's the fruit that really matters. Now, as we look at this, what was going on in Corinth, they were infants. Paul says they're babes, they're carnal. They were being selfish, they were being self-willed, they were being self-exalting. And so they were not displaying love. It was all about themselves. Jesus' great commandment given to us is that we're to love one another. They weren't doing that. There were squabbles going on. And Paul says, he calls them, it's sort of an insult. He says, you're babes in Christ. You're mere infants. Being that I've been a dad and now I'm a grandpa, I like to observe the kids. I like to watch them. And my little daughter, Ajane, is she in here? She was here earlier. My daughter, when she was little, she's 22 now, isn't she, Dia? Yeah, 22. Good guess, Dad. Good guess. Yeah, she's 22. So anyway, but when she was little, I had her and my nephew Matthew, and they were real close in age. They were like just a few months apart. And one of the things that they would constantly do, they were always competing with each other. They were always consumed with the same toy. They were always fighting all the time. Because they were little and they were screaming and fighting and biting and throwing things. And it was a constant job just to keep them away from each other at times because they were immature. Well, Paul says that's what was sort of going on in the church of Corinth. That was the assessment of their behavior. Look at verse 3 back in our text in chapter 3. He says, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So Paul rebukes him and he says, look guys, you're misbehaving. You're still needing to be fed with milk, not solid food. They weren't ready or able to receive the solid food that comes with maturity. Once more, my little granddaughter, right? She's developing now, she has teeth. And so now she can start to eat solid food, but for quite a while there she couldn't chew on anything. So, you know, that's how we had to give her soft stuff. because she wasn't ready for that. Well, that's Paul's using this illustration in a spiritual sense, that when a person is weak and young and carnal and a babe in Christ, all they can partake of is milk. They can't digest and take in solid food yet. And so they like, they're immature, so they like stuff that immature Christians like. Nice stories, Bible stories, testimony, whatever. But they're really not ready to grow spiritually in the teaching of righteousness and the teaching of holy living and crucifying the flesh and putting into to practice the Word of God and becoming more and more like Jesus and becoming stronger in the Lord. See, God wants all of us not to stay spiritually immature, but to grow beyond infancy to a place where we become more and more like Jesus. My oldest son, Jared, I remember, and Adia will probably dispute this with me, but what I remember is that when Jared was a little baby, our firstborn son, and it got time for him to start talking, if I remember correct, he said, "Dada," first. Now, she might try to dispute that, but I was very happy about that, right? Yes, did you hear that? He said, "Dad," you know. And, you know, you're just all excited. Now my son is 33. So if he comes up to me and goes, "Dada," I'm going to be like, "Oh, no," you know, because he should have matured past that already. So the idea is Paul doesn't want us to stay in a place where we're stunted. I put in your bulletin, and you could take it home and maybe put it on your refrigerator or something, that it is God's will for every one of his own children that we grow up from infancy, only feeding on milk and wearing spiritual diapers, to maturity, eating solid food and the meat of the Word, and putting on our spiritual big boy pants, walking in the newness of life and in love and in maturity by faith. So I've entitled this morning's message, "Growing Out of Our Spiritual Diapers." And that's what God wants us to be doing. He wants us to be growing to maturity, not to be carnal or worldly any longer. And you can see when Paul's addressing this issue with the Galatians, and he says that they were involved in the sins of the flesh. They were carnal. They were worldly. What were they doing? In Galatia, there was sexual immorality and drunkenness and drug use and envy and selfishness and hatred and factions and anger. All these questionable practices. And Paul has to write and say, "Guys, look, walk in the Spirit. Don't walk according to the flesh anymore." And so carnality, worldly-mindedness, childlikeness is not a good thing to stay in when you're a Christian. We're to grow. And so this church was struggling with all of that. But Paul, he says in this church, what they were struggling with, and Paul calls it infancy or carnality, he says in verse 3, "For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you." He describes those carnal things as being envious. When there's jealousy, when there's that kind of mindset where people are envious or jealous of other people's maybe gifts or talents or their positions, or maybe even where they go to church, and they're you know, "My church is better than your church," or any of that kind of stuff, you know, or "How come I didn't get appointed an elder," or whatever, those kinds of things. Why aren't I on the worship team even though I can't sing a lick, you know, or whatever. You know, those kinds of things. And so Paul says when that kind of stuff's going on, that is carnal, that is infancy. It's like my little kids, you know, my daughter and my nephew fighting with each other over every little thing. The next thing he says that's a display of carnality or infancy or not being mature, he says, is strife. He says strife is the next thing. And strife, what is that? It means it's a person that always wants to argue, always wants to quarrel, always wants to debate. Now, contrary to some people's ideas, strife and debating are not one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So 2 Timothy 2:23 says this: "Do not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, but you know, because you know that they generate strife, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful." And so some people, they just love to argue about anything and everything. That's not a sign of maturity. That's a sign of immaturity, and that's a sign of pride. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the troublemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So we're to make effort to live in peace. The next thing that he says is that there's divisions. Now, divisions and strife kind of go together, where you start to strive and then you cause divisions or seditions and that controversy causing uproar in the church. This person is a person who, Paul says, needs to be watched out for. Romans chapter 16 says, they are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And so sadly today, there are carnal, immature Christians that are destroying some churches because they are always in there stirring things up and causing fights and strife and all that. That is not a good thing. Paul says that the Corinthians were behaving, he says at the end of verse 3, behaving like mere men. We are not to be any longer like mere men. And what Paul means by that is now that we have Jesus living in us, now that we have the Spirit of God living in us, we're to live different than we used to or like the world lives, mere men without the Spirit. We're to be growing. We're to be Christ-like. We're to respond in a Christ-like way and not a worldly way. And so this was a rebuke to them. And then he says in verse 4, for when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, he says, are you not carnal? And so they were taking sides, and they were following different leaders, and they were fighting with each other. There was envy, there was strife. All of these divisions were happening in the church of Corinth. And Paul says, it should not be this way, guys. You're not to be argumentative and quarrelsome and making trouble. That's a sure sign of carnality. Now, on the other hand, if we're one with others and our relationship is marked by peace, by love, and by unity, our desire is to have those things, that shows us that we're growing spiritually and we're more mature, that we're under the control of the Spirit. And so we're called to that. If we're going to be mature as Christians, we have to give ourselves to certain things. When you're an infant, of course, you're not interested in those things. And infants, they have all kinds of make messes. I had the wonderful experience this week, babysitting my granddaughter, of getting peed on. It was really great. I just felt this warm sensation, and I said, what? And I was full of pee. And so anyway, infants don't know how to control themselves. Paul's saying, I want you to grow to maturity. I want you to grow up in the things of God. And in order to do that, just a few things to think about. Number one, if you're going to grow spiritually and you're going to grow stronger and more mature as a Christian, you have to give yourself to the things of the Spirit. You've got to feed yourself spiritually. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you as a Christian, what you need to be in order to grow stronger from infancy to maturity, which God wants, is that you need to be a person that's in the Word, that you study your Bible, so that you can grow in the faith, that you can grow in spiritual maturity. You need to feed yourself spiritually daily. Don't just come to church and say, pastor, spoon feed me. No, you need to feed yourself. You need to grow stronger so that you can become more useful for the kingdom of God and become more mature. And another thing that's very important is spending time with the Lord in prayer. Spending time drawing near to the Lord. Getting to know Him, praying. And guys, praying is not just talking to God. It's not just jumping in the car and saying, God, please bless my day. That's not it. It's more than that. Prayer is learning how to communicate with God. You pray and listen as well. Prayer involves listening, not just talking. Being still, being quiet, allowing the Lord to speak to you. I was praying this week and I really felt like there were some things in my life I know that need work. And I said, Lord, please help me to control my thoughts, because sometimes I find myself in my thoughts thinking things that are not good. And I said, Lord, I know you want my thought life to be pure. So help me with my thought life. Help me to, if I start to think about something I shouldn't be thinking about, that the Holy Spirit will put a check on that right away. So I won't go down that path. So growing in maturity and saying, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. I want you to change me. Spending time in prayer. Another thing that helps us to grow as Christians, and we talked about this at the beginning, getting involved in small groups and developing relationships with other believers. We see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. The early church were a close-knit group of believers. They were with each other. They were encouraging each other. They were praying for each other. You cannot grow as a Lone Ranger Christian. You really can't. So you need to be devoted to that area in your life so that you can mature and you can be encouraging others and being encouraged by others as well. And so, guys, let me end with this thought. You right now have the opportunity, so do I, all of us do, to be as close to God and as spiritually mature as you want to be. And what I mean by that is this. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So if you want to get closer to God than you are now, the only one stopping you is you. God's not. God wants you to draw near to him. So we can draw near to God, and as we draw near to God, we are told that he will draw near to us. So it's a matter of how close do you want to be to God. It's all up to you. And so it comes down to our priorities. And we all know priorities are tough, aren't they? Prioritizing our lives where the Lord is always first is a challenge. Because we have the tendency to put other things before God. It might be our work, it might be our hobbies, it might be our relationships, our husbands, our wives, our kids, baseball, this, that, all kinds of stuff. And pretty soon God gets pushed further and further and further down the list of priorities. And now he's not the priority of our life anymore. And God wants to be the number one priority in our lives. That we put him first, our eyes are on him, we're seeking him, we're drawing near to him. And then as we do that, everything else is going to fall into place. Isn't it cool that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And it's just a beautiful promise. So where do you want to be? Do you want to be closer? It's going to take time. It takes discipline. It takes prioritizing your life. It takes effort to be a spiritually mature Christian. Amen? Or you can stay in your little baby pants and pee on your grandpa. Whatever. All right. God bless you guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to grow, all of us, to grow stronger and more mature in our walk with you. That we, Lord God, would not stay spiritual babes in Christ. That we would not be carnal or carnally minded or worldly, fleshly minded. But, Lord, that we would become more and more mature, able to partake of the solid food, the meat of the word, and to grow and digest the things that would help us to become stronger. Help us, Father, to not be stunted spiritually, but to be growing more and more in the likeness of Jesus as time goes. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.